All right, we're live. Welcome, guys, to the 121st installment of the Unplugged Alpha podcast series. We're on today with a gentleman who reached out to me last couple weeks, who's been a guy that works in bachelorette parties. He's a male stripper. He's been doing it since 2009. He's got some interesting stories. He wants to tell, and he's pivoting out of the industry. Before we sort of get started with his stuff, just a quick announcement. I just had the ACX version, so the Audible version of the second edition of the book, approved. So you can get it now and listen to it while you're driving your car, working out, or whatever you want. Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, Rich. Long-time listener. Big fan. I didn't mention it either, but I discovered your channel through my two-year social media detox I took, and that was a great find.
You found it during a detox. That usually means you stay off social media. How'd you come across it?
So I was just using YouTube as my source for information.
Okay.
And I came across Stoicism. And I found, you know, all the great philosophers like Marcus Aurelius. And then I came across your channel. It was about entrepreneurship. And other things, but I didn't dive too much into your channel. I dived into Stoicism before yours, but later dived deeper to yours. So
cool.
It was cool.
So how did you get into doing bachelorette parties and stripping? You know, you mentioned in your DMs that you've been doing this since 2009, right?
Yeah.
And we're keeping them anon for obvious reasons, guys, you know, because it was Pivot. But yeah, you know, kick off the start story there for us.
Yeah. So just tell you guys ahead of time. All the names and locations have been changed for privacy reasons in respect of mine and everybody else's. So how I got started, it's funny, back in high school, they invited me out to this party, house party, way before 2009. I was intoxicated and, you know, I liked this chick that was there at the party, and her two friends said give her a lap dance, and I did. I was intoxicated. I was young, probably 17 at the time, and apparently like I blew them away. Like they said, like, oh, you should be a male stripper, which is the way you dance. I'm like, I was just fucking around, yeah, or messing around.
Yeah.
And well, they planted that seed in my head, and so when I found out about Amateur's Night at this, and it was actually a full nude male strip club, I decided to go in and try it out, and I got the part. And ever since then, and I've increased my experience.
And did it start in the male strip club, and then it sort of branched off into doing like private parties, like bachelorette parties? Like, how does that normally work?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's story is different when they come into to be a male stripper, right? I, for the most part, and this is what a lot of male strippers don't tell you, is that sometimes we start off working at like gay male strip clubs or gay bars, like go-go dancing. Mm-hmm. Some guys do just start off straight and like doing bachelorette parties for just bachelorette. But I started off it was a unisex, so it was like a gay and straight male strip club. And then from there, go ahead.
Guys in that line of work normally booked for gay work, or is it mostly for bachelorette parties? Or is it like 50-50? It's a bit of a split.
It's a 50-50, and it all depends on the city.
Yeah.
You know, the community. And it's like, if you're located in a city where it's primarily like a gay district, then you'll get booked more for gay parties. But if you're around the city, it's like a 50-50.
Okay. So talk about your first experience doing a private bachelorette party. What was that like? Like, do you even recall the first one? Do you have a memory of it, or is it
honestly, dude, I did a rough estimate, and so I've been doing this and I can get off track sometimes, so let me know if I
No problem. We'll take you back.
Yeah, dude, it's been a very long time. And I took a 2 to 3 year break since 2009. I can't remember my first bachelorette party, but I do remember there was a time where I was first getting introduced to the private bachelorette parties, and I was so scared of the first one that, and this was when I was 20 or 21, maybe. I called one of the guys I used to work with, and he ended up taking it. But I guess the first one that I can think of that stands out the most is one that I got called out for. It was up in the mountains. This is a very rich area. And so I did the gig. They asked for a police officer, right? And I did my thing. Arrived. Well, usually, so you text the bridesmaid, like, hey, I just arrived, blah, blah, blah. So her friend.
Is there like a specific request for police officer, butler? Like, what are the common ones that, like, costumes or do you do costume changes?
Okay. So common ones are police officer, they got firefighter, you got cowboy, you have. Last year, it was really common to order a delivery guy, basically a pizza delivery.
Okay.
And if you scroll through my Instagram, you'll see that I have a couple pizza delivery guys or pizza delivery gigs that I did. It was a lot of fun. I'm not sure
what a pizza delivery costume looks like. I'm gonna look it up right now. We're not gonna put this on the screen, obviously, but I just want to see it. Pizza delivery. Okay, but carry on with the story.
Yeah, so funny thing is, I like doing like a method acting. So if I'm going to do a pizza delivery gig, I might as well go all the way out, right? And so I went, this was 30 minutes. No, it was about 40 minutes before the gig. I stopped by Pizza Hut. I ordered my pizza, right?
Right.
And this was strictly for the gig. And I told them, hey, it was this girl that was working the front. I just flirted a little bit with her. I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm a male stripper. I'm just trying to do this party. Do you happen to have a piece of clothing, an extra uniform that you have laying around that I could have buy from you guys? Mm-hmm. It would really help. And they were just laughing their ass off and they gave it to me. And so, yeah,
so it was official. A pizza. They actually gave you a uniform.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I ordered the pizza. And so, in the gig, I used the pizza as the prop, and I was feeding it to each of the girls at the bachelorette party.
Got it. All right. So what sort of crazy stuff, you know, have you seen? Because I had a guy on a couple of years ago. I don't know if you saw the podcast interview, but he did what was considered, I think, dancing bear parties. I don't know if that's still used today. Is that something that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with a dancing bear.
What is a dancing bear, if you can explain it to our viewers?
So back in the day, the dancing bear, from my knowledge, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't dive too deep into the dancing bear, but basically porn meets strippers. And the strippers are covered in their face for obvious reasons with whatever silly mask it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a line of girls just fucking each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in situations where at bachelorette parties, there's two of us or maybe three of us that go in to do a private party. And I'll name this specific time where we were all police officers. We went in and, we role played and like, you just had our flashlights out. We had the siren music, handcuffs out. All the girls were just loving it. And so towards the end of the gig, they wanted to go in the private room to do lap dances. And so all three entertainers went in to give private dances in a separate room to three different girls. And I remember hearing one of the girls who got a lap dance was talking about her husband and that they've been married and they have kids. And so she got a private lap dance. No big deal. It's just a lap dance. it's just more intimate away from the other girls. Well, that and one thing led to another, and it wasn't me. It was more, I am 33 years old now, and in my early 20s, I was a lot more wilder than I am now. I'm more tamed. So with the what happened, basically the bride got hot and heavy with the other two dancers and ended up having sex with them. And well, I was doing the lap dance with the other girls. Well, I'm sorry, not the bride, the girl who was married.
Okay, so the woman that was married ended up sleeping with two of your colleagues.
Yes, and the bride was there, but she wasn't. She was basically halfway. Halfway
is what, like in her mouth, or I mean, you can use a little bit of detail and
she was giving handies to the guys, but she she didn't have sex with them. So, from the last podcast, and I did listen to was it Mike?
Yeah,
the smell stripper. I listened to his podcast, and
so how common is that in your experience? Because I mean, like, I always get challenged that, oh, that's not that common. You know, it's okay if women go to bachelorette parties. Like, how common were indiscretions and women stepping out on a husband, or maybe even, you know, like at a bachelorette party, and it was the bride to be the next day or something like that. Like, how often did that happen in your experience?
You know, I will second Mike on this, and from my experience, it comes down to the influence of the friends, man. They, you know, encourage the bride to make some bad decisions if she's not surrounded with, you know, level-headed friends. But it's usually 80% of the time, man. There's a lot of people that are just wanting to escape their life in a different state. And it's usually bachelorette parties from a different state that come to my home state. Mm-hmm. Or I'll travel and they're from another state, and they think it's okay because they're far away from home to mess around.
And weekend, they went for a long drive, they hopped on a flight, they're gone for 2-3 days, and they figured, you know, what happens in Nashville, what happens in Vegas, that stays in Vegas, sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they got their girlfriends egging them on. Now, you said 80%, like it's 80% of the time that you'll see this happen?
Yeah.
80% of the time, wow.
You know, I got red-pilled later in my stripping career, because I didn't really see, I noticed a lot of issues, but I just didn't, the frying pan didn't hit my head until later, after a 2-year relationship that I was in, especially. But usually 80%, man. And when I do the performances at an actual show, you see it constantly. You see in each group of bachelorette parties, and we'll get maybe like on a busy day 20 plus groups or even 50 bachelorette party groups packed in that venue. And there's the guys are usually going home with somebody, or they go out with them. Mm-hmm. And just entertaining the girls. Just they invite us too. They can go out with them out in, you know, downtown. And, you know, as somebody who notices all this constantly, it just numbs you as a, as a man who sees all this, it's just what it is. And that's part of the red pilling, is, you know, you get numbed, but you just realize, okay, this is how life actually works.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because whenever I say something like that on social media, like if you let your girl go to a bachelorette party or a stag or stagette or whatever, you're a freaking idiot, because, you know, they're not sitting around getting their nails done. A lot of the time, you know, bad things happen. It's like, you know, like, what do you think's going to happen if you put alcohol in a private room, usually overnight in a different town with a bunch of women who want to go crazy, and then there's naked dudes walking around that are in good shape?
Yeah, like, exactly.
What do you think's gonna happen? Like, you think they're gonna sit around playing like checkers or something like that? Is it brides too at the 80% level, like, you know, like brides to be, or is it just like they're married friends that are that you know, promiscuous because they've been married for a while?
I'd say it's both. If they're surrounded by, you know, some slutty friends, or friends are just making some bad decisions, and the bride is the one that, you know, she has somewhat of a level head. I can see it, you know, at these gigs that she fights it. The bride fights it. I'm like, no, like I shouldn't, because he's my husband. And then they see that their girls are having a good time. She gives in, especially if she's drinking alcohol, and then she'll regret it. And so I do all kind of work, from dancing. I do like cabana boy styles / butler, sexy butler gigs, where basically I wear the apron and nothing underneath. And so that's more of a light version of a male stripper. You just have eye candy. You have a sexy butler guy making drinks and, you know, hosting fun party games. You know what? I do want to mention there's one story that it gave me more light, I guess hope, but it can also give your viewers hope. And it was, it's so crazy because I've never had anything like this happen to me, or I've never seen such a thing. It was during the show at one of the venues, and it was a full house. And I saw this cute little black girl just in her little table full of her girls having a great time. And she just had her hand on her chin, like looking like she was bored. Like she just, you know, didn't have any interest. And I made fun of her as I was walking by, as the show was going, you know, one dancer after another. And I said, hey, you know, you seem pretty bored, just giving her shit. And she's like, yeah, this isn't my thing. And music's blasting, so I couldn't really hear that well. And she said, yeah, this isn't my... said something. I asked her, oh, can you say that again? And she pulled her necklace out, and she said, I'm a woman of God. And then she said some verse, and I was taken back. I'm like, wow, like, you don't really get that often. I mean, you get some girls that come in are religious, but they don't follow through all the way. You'll see them crack into like the glories of what the show offers. But throughout the whole night, she just seemed uninterested. She didn't want to dance. She didn't want to, she even said that she was there for her, just there to support her a friend who's getting married. And, but yeah, she didn't partake in any of the activities at the show. And so I thought that was really interesting.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting because I've been to a lot of bachelor parties, you know, especially in my 20s and 30s, because, you know, that's when friends get married. And I never saw, or like the stories that I've got from male strippers is like 80% of the time, you know, these women are stepping out on their husbands, or they're stepping out on the guy that they're about to be married. And whether it's handy or it's mouth action or it's full blown, you know, home base, you know, sort of thing. I've never seen it to that frequency when guys have bachelor parties. It just maybe like once I think I saw it, you know, where there was, you know, there was some banging going on. But aside from that, it just, it's very, very, very infrequent. Why do you think women are, you know, women behave that way in situations like that when men don't?
So my analysis, and, you know, I'm not perfect, man. I stepped out and got involved in somebody's marriage two times out of my whole career, right? So I cheated my own relationship, so that, you know, once, and I felt how that was like, and I got involved, you know, two times with somebody's marriage, and you know, it didn't feel good because of my values and whatnot.
Was she already married, or was she the bride to be?
Okay, so one of them was a bride to be, and the second one was somebody who was already married.
Okay.
Yeah. And so,
I'm guessing, you know, they were married to a guy that was a provider, money.
Yeah, you know what? That's what it was, because they, sometimes the brides, or a lot of people in the group added me on Instagram. And, you know, after I do a party, you know, just look at their stories or the post, and I
they
see
they add you on Instagram. So
yeah,
I mean, like, if they follow your account, then you can see the follow. So they're leaving a paper trail of their behavior, obviously, right?
Correct. Yeah, so I mean, okay. It's like, it's no shame, man. You know, you have a lot of these girls at the shows or even private parties who, even before alcohol or after alcohol, they're hitting on the male stripper, or the sexy butler guy or cabana guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a picture of them and their boyfriend or husband on their phone, and while they're here trying to make a move on the, you know, male stripper and the butler. So that's no shame. So we need to shame people. I mean, shaming is good. It holds people accountable. But
yeah, so that for a while.
Yeah. So that's important. But the reason, I think, yeah, the reason why, I don't know, man. It's like surrounding these girls. Like, if there's a woman out there that wants to improve her life and surround herself with better quality friends, that's one of the keys to help influence or have a strong mindset like that, that black girl at that show. Mm-hmm. Who didn't partake in any of the activities, and she remained true to her cause, which, you know, God was her higher cause, and she didn't want to commit any kind of adultery, I guess.
Interesting. Do the women pay for, we'll call it full service, do they end up paying for full service, or is it just like, you know, you just sort of get into it because things happen?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on who you're asking. What male entertainer you're asking. Mm-hmm.
Or how hot she is. Yeah. I would imagine, right?
You know, I've always been careful ever since, you know, stepping in this line of work. When I started at the full nude male strip club, you know, there, and I do want to mention, I'll mention this after, but yeah, when I stepped into that realm, it was a darker, weird world, because, you know, some guys in that field, when they work in the gay field or when they work in the field with, you know, surrounded with gay customers and also women, is, you know, I guess everyone has a price. Mm-hmm. And, for the full service, I've had a female come in, and she, oh, okay. This brings me back. Wow. Since it's been so long, man, it's been a blur of a memory, but I do remember there's one, she was like a Middle Eastern customer who saw me, and she was just totally mesmerized with me, right? And she invited me to come to her house and give her a lap dance there. And I did, and like about four different times, I drove out probably like a good hour drive just to give her a lap dance. Mm-hmm. But she kept pushing to do more and more and more. And she was like a three, dude, three or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was sweet personality and everything, but sometimes I don't know how these guys give certain dances, and they get stimulated, but I can't. I have no way to get in, like, I don't know if I can say it online or on live, but, you know, they get an erection. But with that one, I had to stop giving her a private lap dance because, you know, she wanted more and more. And I just, honestly,
what do you charge for
go that far? Lap dance? It just
like
depends.
Driving out to the house just to do that one sort of session.
It could be from 150 to 200.
And that's for an hour or?
Yeah.
That's an hour. That's like super cheap.
Yeah, so that's one specific story. Man, dude, I have so many stories. It's hard to keep up. But yeah,
what's the craziest story that comes to mind?
Oh, I have wrote them down too. Let's see. Oh, I do want to mention to you before we go on, because it's on my mind. If you have a girlfriend, she hangs out with her gay friends, she goes to gay bars with the gay friends, and if the gay bar has go-go dancers, you can't even trust that, because a lot of the times the go-go dancers, you know, we're straight. Like I go-go dance too. Well, I used to. But yeah, they, you know, girlfriend, bride, they'll go in and they're not safe there either if they're not surrounded with quality gay friends or friends that go to gay bars.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust a chick hanging out with gay friends in gay nightclubs.
The craziest story, to go back to your question, I got a couple. One specific one. Yeah, so I was doing a job out in this mountain community. It's like a bunch of rich houses over there. And I was playing a cop. I went in and this cute white girl greeted me at the door. She was all over me. And when I mean all over me, like she just literally touched me right when she opened the door. She told me, hey, the batch, you know, everyone else is getting ready. Just wait here with me. And she just, couldn't stop touching me. So once her party was ready to go, I did my thing. I, you know, my performance, I don't remember how long it lasted, but afterwards, I started getting dressed. I was talking to the girls, asking me a lot of questions, you know, the whole nine yards, like, how long have you been doing this? How do you like the job? Blah, blah, blah. And and this is my rule. I don't hook, well, at least now I don't do it as much as I used to. But even back then, my rule was as long as the party gave the thumbs up, like if most of the party gave a thumbs up to pursue their friend, or if they push you to pursue their friend, then I will take that opportunity to hook up with them. Because they're just, I don't like mixing up pleasure with my money, because then down the road that basically gets like, it'll decrease my chances of making more money down the road. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Because, so going on with the story, yeah, these girls, like they told me, hey, you should, you know, hang out with, we'll just call it Brittany, that white girl that greeted me at the door. Mm-hmm. Hey, you should hang out with Brittany and blah, blah, blah. So just give me the wink. I'm like, all right, sounds good. So we ended up hooking up upstairs. We went from the shower to the bedroom. And
so just to be clear, there was no going out on a date or coffee or drink. It was
No.
Going up the stairs.
Yeah, going upstairs, okay. Like hook up with. Yeah, sorry if I wasn't clear. So we hooked up, and afterwards she started crying. Like after we had sex, she just immediately started crying. Mm-hmm. And I immediately just went up to her Asian friend. I think, yeah, she was the host of the party. And I was like, hey, we had great sex, blah, blah, blah. Then she started crying. I don't know what's going on, Brittany. And then she's like, oh, she misses, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay. Then we're all good. I'm going to make my way out now. She's like, yeah, mm-hmm. You better do that. So that was when I was younger. And I honestly, I was young and still aware of like the whole, like, I don't want to be fucking Me Too'd, or I don't want to be put on a charge for, you know, consented sex, but you know how people lie. Mm-hmm. So that's one crazy story, is just somebody crying right after sex.
Do you ever get Me Too'd, or does anybody ever get Me Too'd in like the male stripping industry? Has that ever happened?
You know, not that I've heard of, but there's some guys in the field still that just need to hang it up. Mm-hmm. They're a lot older, or they just haven't taken care of themselves. And I can see them getting Me Too'd for sure, because, you know, the girl probably would just regret hooking up with the sleazy, out of shape stripper.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, with good looking guys, I haven't heard guys getting Me Too'd. I mean, sleaze balls exist everywhere in every field. So I'm sure there was a point that maybe some guy tried to get charged for it.
Do the hookups happen in the strip joints, or is it just on the bachelorette parties where it's like a private space?
More on the private space, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cause at the shows, that's where it leads to, hey, come hang out with us or come back to our place.
So, I mean, like you'll do a gig, you'll have what, like a 2-hour slot or something like that. And then afterwards they're like, hey, you know, we're going to this nightclub or we're going to this place, you know, why don't you come over?
Yeah.
Got it. How much money do male strippers make on an annual basis? Like good ones?
It's a good question.
I was always curious because when I was in my 20s, I used to work at this collection agency, and there was this huge hippopotamus that sat behind me that had a big drawer full of candy. And she would always make like lewd remarks like, Rich, you should come and, you know, work at the strip joint that I go to because, you know, you'll make a lot of money, blah, 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 and I'm going to whip you with my licorice stick or something. I'm like, not a chance in hell I would ever go to a place where people like you are at. I was always curious, though.
You know, man, it all depends on what state, city you live at. And if you travel, the guys who travel, I haven't had the chance to do the tours. Mm-hmm. The guys who do the tours make a killing.
Tours like some, from like town to town to town, like sort of like the tour girls that do strip joints.
Yes.
So it's like tour guys. Got it. Okay. So it's like big names then.
Yeah. I honestly can't give you a number.
What though? Like half mil year.
I'm going to guess, and maybe there might be somebody in your audience who might, correct me. But if there's anybody out there that knows, and go ahead and, you know, they'll tell you or whatever, but I'm going to guess more than 40 grand. Yeah. A lot more than 40 grand. Cause if you're constantly getting show pay and then you're getting tips on top of that every single day.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. That's insane. That's actually pretty, pretty strong cash. All right. I also wanted to ask you about red flags too, because I've got a chapter in my book with 21 red flags. I don't know if you've read the book. I forgot to ask you when we were chatting back and forth on DM.
Yeah, I've read it on Audible a couple times. I, you know, with any book, it's always good to review it constantly to get to memorize certain chapters. But yeah, I have actually the book right here.
Was there anything in the red flag chapter that popped out over and over again that you know, would be associated with less desirable, more promiscuous women? Like any sort of behaviors, like anything on that list there? Daddy issues, feminist, unhappy, unlucky, competes with men, keeps men around from her past, shit with money, violent, extreme jealousy, party girls. I mean, party girls is probably one of them for sure. Tattoos and piercings. Is there any association between the volume and number of tattoos and piercings and promiscuity at bachelorette parties?
Yeah. Okay. So put it this way, man, I've seen a consistency of, I'll wrap like a lot of different parties from stripper, like the stripper parties to the cabana, to the butler. And the consistency I've seen is, you know, the whole boss babe attitude, you know, I don't need a man, or guys have, they listen to me at a snap of a finger, so they think they're entitled to everything.
Daddy
issues for sure. Because when they start talking and I start talking about like trauma, or like I overhear it about like, you know, their dad this, or their family this, or just having some family problems, and it just sounds like they're just never resolving their family issues. And this is me like just in the background hearing this. So for sure, daddy issues. And I see that you have that for number one. So that is definitely an important thing, because the family dynamic is important, having both parents, obviously. Right. But if, you know, if you don't have the dad there, then for these girls, it's a big issue. That's what I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Any other ones that pop up? Common like red flags that you'd see in these women that would step out, that would misbehave?
You know, I'm going to say, so I love tattoos. Personally, me on my woman, I don't want too many tattoos, but if she already comes with it and her characteristics are, like if her values are up there over her tattoos, it's not going to be a big deal. But I've seen with tattoos being another one, and that's a combination of their tattoos and they just have a horrible character. Mm-hmm.
So it's a character thing. And I think a lot of the red flags, sort of some of the negative red flags that might be correlated with the misbehaving, you know, let's call it, are, you know, certainly there.
Yeah. And party girls for sure.
Yeah. Party girls are always a huge red flag because I've been to Vegas. I've been to Ibiza. I've been to these places. I've seen the party girls. I've seen a lot of these, you know, like bachelorette parties in these places too, where they have the sashes and it's like bride, you know, like bride to be, and you know, like bridesmaids and all that sort of stuff. It's always interesting, you know, because they'll advertise that they're at a bachelorette party and they're getting married and they're there to party, and there's no reservations whatsoever that I've seen anyway.
Yeah, and I do want to mention. Because I'm personally interested in human behavior. I think that's why I've stayed at this job for as long as I have, just studying just behavior from all groups of people. And with this job, and all male entertainers can agree to this, like we're at a degree a therapist to many different people. Well, I guess
I was gonna ask you, do they open up to you and tell you stories and stuff?
Oh, dude, you have like we're basically like. Are their own little mini sexy therapist. it's like a fantasy for them, I guess.
Fantasy to have a guy come and deliver a pizza, dance around, and then listen to their bullshit.
Yeah. And you know what, dude? Like, because I'm interested in the human behavior and I've had a colorful background myself. I'm always interested to hear other people's stories and the kind of, once they understand that, you know, you're giving them the time and day to hear their stories at mm-hmm. these gigs, and especially sometimes the party sees that you're giving one of the girls that your time and listening to them, and it raises your tip. Like, oh, like, you know, Tom is listening to Becky's fucking bullshit trauma story about her ex-boyfriend who hit her, blah blah blah, like isn't he so sweet, and then that just increases the tip, you know. But like I come out of it in a genuine way, like I'm interested, like I want her to leave that party getting a fucking sexy pizza guy, but also having a guy hear her story and right. Whatnot, but yeah, dude, like I've heard it all, dude.
Interesting. I'm gonna drop the link to call in and ask questions in a minute, because I always do a Q&A, so I'm just gonna call in for Q&A. Any other stories you want to share, like anything of interest that you know, people might want to hear about some of these experiences? Cause I mean, like you're also talking about pivoting and sort of getting into you know, dealing with the therapy component, but on a more professional level too.
Yeah. Put it this way, dude. For this, okay, so dude, I'm like so overwhelmed. I know there's a term where you have so many different options and you just can't decide on one. Okay, so there's this, so I did this sexy cabana butler gig. It was two of us, and I don't remember the bachelor party. It was maybe like 6-7 of them. So throughout the gig I was chopping up limes for drinks. And the bride went in the room with the other guy, the other cabana guy. Mm-hmm. And I heard it. I already assumed what was going to happen from there. So they come out of the room. I see the bride fixing her dress up. And then she says, oh, don't forget your phone in my room. This is probably maybe a good 15 to 20 minutes of them in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And the bride comes to me in the kitchen as I was making drinks for everyone at the bachelorette party. And she goes up to me like, you know what? You look like my ex. And then she starts pulling out her phone She starts scrolling and she finds a picture of her ex and she's like, look, see? I look at her ex and I'm like, oh, just fucking bullshitting with her and agreeing with her. And like, oh yeah, it looks like I do, or we may have some similar traits, whatever. And then she fucking FaceTimes him. And then the way she's talking about her ex, and mind, this is the bride, right? She FaceTimes her ex and then she starts talking to her ex and says, like, hey, so-and-so, we'll just call him Gerald. Hey, Gerald, look, I found your twin, blah, blah, blah. And then we were just, it was a weird conversation. It was very awkward, but we were just bullshitting, talking. And then she just starts groping on me that whole time. And I finished the drinks. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pass the drinks, just feeling awkward and just kind of embracing the chaos that was just happening, right? So, and I was just like, all right.
So this is the bride-to-be. She just went into the private room with your colleague, came out, had a FaceTime with her ex on her phone with you, the stripper at the bachelorette party.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's, are you guys unplugging and seeing the code in the matrix here?
It was the weirdest fucking thing, man. It was like, the only thing that was going through my head was like, why the fuck are you marrying this guy? Or excuse my language. Why are you marrying this guy if you just, what I assume had sex with my colleague, and then now my face reminds you of your ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's clearly still in contact with guys from her past as well, which is another big red flag.
Yeah. So,
you know, there's a correlation, gentlemen. Wow, man. Cool. Well, you got anything else you want to drop? Any other wisdom, any other tales from the trend? Oh, one other question I want to ask you, what's the percentage of women at these bachelorette parties that are actually attractive? Like that are going to turn you on? Cause my impression, a lot of the times, you know, when I see some of these photographs, oh, actually I want to get to the post-it notes too. Cause that was something else that we talked about, but what percentage of them are actually like hot?
A good majority of them. I mean, you get some girls who, you know, are busted or
they're reasonably still young. I would imagine if they're getting married, like they're not 40s and 50s, like they're mostly younger than that.
I don't see a lot of, I don't see a lot of women in like their early 20s getting married. It's more like mid 20s and older now. And that, you know, that matches there's a study that I heard through a podcast. They were talking about it, but a lot of women now are getting married in like the 30s. And
yeah, I think the average age for women is like 29 at this point.
Yeah. So I can confirm that.
What about the post-it notes? Cause that's one of the games that you, played, and you sent me a couple of images of some of the post-it notes, like some of the things that women would write down. Can you explain the game and the sorts of things that were revealed with these post-it notes?
Yeah. So I won't go in details because this is like one of my babies in games. So there's like, there's a lot of different agencies out there, and I work for a couple. Well, I actually work for more than a couple. But specifically for like the Cabana Butler gigs, and I don't want them taking my idea, but I'll give you like a general sense. So the post-it notes that I sent you is basically a game that I play when I'm doing the Cabana / Butler gig. And so there'll be a group of girls, whether they're outside or inside. I tell every single one of them to, you know, I give each and every one of them a piece of paper with a pen, and I say, okay, so write down the craziest thing that's ever happened to you. And then on the back of the sheet of paper, write down the most embarrassing, and then fold it up and put in this bowl. Okay. And so they do that. And then I guess I'm already giving away the game. Then I just have to grab one at a time and read it. And then everyone has to guess who it belongs to. out of
are they able to guess or?
Yeah, so they make their guesses. They're like, oh, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's Becky because she's the biggest whore, and then because of the story that this person wrote was like very, it's like a very slutty story, and Becky's like, no, that wasn't me, and then turns out it's like the shy girl mm-hmm. that did something, you know, crazy. So I got the bag of these little stories. I actually saved these. Yeah, I kept them all. I go back and I laugh every time I read them.
Yeah, I've got a few here that you sent me. I'll just read them out. Inserting MDMA up my butthole, peed in my mouth while giving head, poop in my finger while inserting it in my boyfriend. There's a few others towards the top that you sort of, let me see if I can pull them up and see them. They're really hard to read. My friend lost her virginity to me in a threesome. I fucked in an airplane bathroom.
Yeah.
I fucked a man for new tires and he had a micro penis.
Yeah.
I made a guy come by just sucking on his toes.
Here, I can
fuck my husband's brother.
Yeah.
Fuck my husband's brother. Well, there's something to admit, eh?
Yeah.
Threesome with two black guys in Vegas. Groom and best man. I shitted during sex. Is that even possible? How the hell do you do that?
Yeah, I always wondered the same thing. She must have ate something really bad.
Yeah,
oh my god, dude. Hey, look, you got a chance to tell you a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never been as grossed out as this story. So we did the paper thing, right? I can't find it with my, you know, hundreds of little sheets of paper, but we'll call it the traveling Uber turd. So This chick, she hooked, you know, it was apparently her boyfriend or some guy she was hooking up with, and she woke up, she had to do her business in the bathroom, apparently it didn't flush. And this is based on the piece of paper, and she had to explain the story, so this is what I remember. So she did her business, it wouldn't flush, she got the little brush stick, and it apparently wouldn't flush. And so what she did was she oh my god, she grabbed everything in the toilet and put it in her purse and left the house. Oh my god, dude, she left the house, she got in an Uber and left, went to her house and apparently flushed it there.
She didn't want to leave it there for him to see, so she took it home in her purse.
Yeah, some of her friends knew about the story because they weren't like shocked, but some friends were at the bachelorette party, and I was shocked. Like, I have so many fucking questions. Why didn't you just dump it in the bush or something? Why did you have to put it in your purse? You just asked the guy for a trash bag. But yeah, that's what she did. Like, the amount of things somebody will do to not feel shame is beyond this world, dude. But yeah,
I've always said that reputation management is really, really important, you know, for gals. I've noticed this during the ladies' night shows. You know, we're having conversations, you ask them something straightforward, like, hey, how much money does the guy need to make? And they'll sort of dance around it, and they won't be honest about it and say, well, you know, he should be making more money than me. Few women will. A lot of them just be like, well, as long as he's a nice guy and he compliments me in the, you know, nice guy in the morning and he makes me a coffee or something, it doesn't matter if he makes, you know, less money than me or less or whatever. And then it's like, you know, what they say and what they do is two different things. And there's always that reputation that they have to manage because they don't want to come off, you know, as a bad person or, you know, somebody that takes massive dumps that don't flush, I guess. But there's really no limit to, you know, managing that reputation. It's super important, you know, for women. Dudes will just go take a dump in your toilet and clog it and be like, yo, your toilet didn't flush, you know, you have to call a plumber and just walk away. But women will apparently take it home with them. Oh man.
Yeah, it's beyond this world, dude.
I have nobody waiting to come in and ask questions. So if you've got more stories, I think that's why, because I've never done an Unplugged Alpha show where people don't click the link and come in to ask questions. So if you want to keep going, we got time.
Okay. Let's see.
Let me ask you this question while you're contemplating that. What about your opinion of women when you were a kid changed by doing this job?
So what about my opinion about women has changed?
Yeah, because when you're a young man, you're like, you know, girls are nice and they smell nice and, you know, sugar and spice and all things nice. And then you start doing bachelorette parties and, you know, all these sorts of gigs. Like, what opinions about women changed?
Well, hopefully this doesn't get complex, but if it does, let me know. You know, I've always been a very self-aware kid, man. Like, I question everything. I'm always the little philosopher, asking questions about anything and everything. When I was a kid growing up, you know, born in 1990, watching the late night shows, comedy shows, I always just noticed the guy was played as the dad was the buffoon, the idiot mm-hmm. husband, right? Yeah. And I always questioned. I remember I was a teenager, like, why is the father always the idiot? Like, isn't there like some kind of, you know, alpha, like in a comedy show, like some kind of alpha guy? Why are they portraying the dad as a idiot? And then mm-hmm. My upbringing, you know, I always heard the, oh, you know, men ain't shit, or your so-and-so dad ain't shit, or, and then you hear like other single moms or blah blah blah. Like, you hear it, like, there's just a constantly repetitive thing. But I always noticed too, with you know, just a common thing socially too, what I've noticed growing up, and as soon as I started diving in, I noticed also, you know, women aren't as sweet and nice like everyone portrays them to be. Because once I started working the field, like, yeah, like women are as horny and want all these nasty things just like men. Like, what are people talking about that mm-hmm. women aren't don't want rough sex, and, or, you know, they don't crave these things? Of course they are. They're human just like us. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, it has changed now in wanting to get married. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I don't want to, even the parties that I do, or even that, the black girl that I met at the show, like there's a small amount of hope, but it's not like how it used to be, like traditional values. And with, I think I'm going all over the place, but yeah, I wouldn't get married, man. Unless like I'm married, or, you know, unless I meet somebody and the state is on the man's side with 50-50. But, you know, I've read your book. I've gone really deep into a lot of different things when it comes to what would happen if a man gets divorced in a state that doesn't favor a 50-50 in the court system. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's just not ideal. So yeah, that's how it's changed. I hope that answered it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Cause I guess you see them, would you call them at their worst or behaving their worst?
For the bachelorette parties?
Yeah.
In some cases, yeah. Sometimes they, you know, they just want a cute guy with his butt cheeks out in an apron, just serving them drinks, and, you know, they'll just flirt, but they won't take it to the distance of, they want to, you know, they'll want to have sex with me or any of the guys there. And sometimes some parties do take it far.
What is the difference between how women behave at the events that you work at versus how men behave at a bachelorette party or even a strip joint? Like, is there a correlation, you know, between the behavior? Do men behave worse? Do women behave worse? Like, what's your experience with that been?
I I haven't been to enough bachelor parties, but what I've been to a few different female strip clubs, and I mean, guys, we want to see tits and ass, and some guys do want to see more of a burlesque show, or they just they're more into the arts, but they're more all open and honest about it. Like, yeah, I want to see a naked girl and want to seduce me or want me, and the women are more, they're not upfront about it. They want it. They do want the same thing a guy wants, but they're around the bush about it. Does that make sense?
Okay. You got anything else for me before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I got a couple more stories. Okay, so I was asked to do a strip job, and it was a police officer, and I went in and just did my thing. There was a small batch group, probably like five or six. And during the show, one of the girls had mentioned something about like she had told her husband that there'll be no strippers at the house, blah blah blah. Of course, she lied. And just moments later, she said, "Oh shit!" And this is the owner of the house, and this was a friend of the bachelorette. She's like, "Oh shit, my husband's on his way, blah blah blah. Hey Tom, can you get your stuff and get dressed and leave?" I'm like, "All right, whatever. I mean, I already got paid. I get paid before I do my show and then gather my tips." So as I was doing it, then she comes up to me again. It's like, "Oh shit, he's outside. Can you go upstairs?" And so I was like, "Fucking A, all right, what?" All right. I went upstairs, and this cute girl that was there at the party went upstairs with me. She's like, "Hey, I'm gonna keep you company." Like, all right. I don't still to this day, I don't know if she had a boyfriend or not or was married. But it's just one of the cute girls was at the party. She went upstairs with me. She's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna keep you company." And so I'm laying in bed, and the cute girl was on the edge of the bed, and I'm just complimenting compliment. I was just like thinking, like, I'm either so shit's gonna go down. I gotta get prepared. And I was carrying at the time too, just in case like shit like this goes down. So this girl looks at me as I was just like figuring out what's gonna happen next. She's like, "So ask me the most corniest fucking question, dude." She's like, "What's your favorite color?" as she gets closer to me on the bed. And I just looked at her like, "What?" Like, "It's red." And then she gets closer to me and she looks at me like, "Okay." And then she asks me another question. I'm like, "Oh, okay, she wants to have sex." So then we just start making out. And in my mind, I'm like, "All right, so we're about to have sex, and I'm about to probably get in a fight with the owners of the house's husband." Great. So things get hot and heavy. We're about to have sex, and I hear a loud bang at the door. And it's the owner of the house. She said, "False alarm. He's not here. Can you get your stuff and leave?" And so the cute girl just hops off of me, and she's like, "Oh, okay. Well, it's nice knowing you." So blue balls and no fight. So I went home, blue balls, and my adrenaline was pumping.
Yeah. Are there any like physical altercations at bachelor parties ever? Fights?
Yeah, not from my experience, but one of the guys that I used to work with, he had an altercation, and he had an altercation because the husband showed up, and again, he didn't want any male strippers, and he saw the guy he used to work with, and he was pushing and shoving him. But the guy that I used to work with, he wasn't much of a fighter, or wasn't really a fighter at all. So he was just trying to calm the situation down.
So this
But
is
yeah.
when like their significant others are told there's not going to be any strippers there, and then they find out there's strippers there, and then it's usually, the guy scrapping with you. But there's nothing like amongst the women, though, eh?
Yeah, it's basically, the women there have to tell their significant other if whatever's going to happen, and sometimes they'll lie. So
I guess it's easier if they're out of town, because if they're flying out of town, there's not going to be an incident usually, right? Like, unless they're doing like a stag or a stagette. Do they ever do stagettes in another town and they still, you know, bring you in, even if they're like the next hotel room over, the next building over, or something like that?
Yeah, they do.
I'll still step out, even with the guys in the next, you know, like in the same state, obviously, like in the same town.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Speaking about a hotel, I have this one story where I got asked to do a gig at a hotel. I was dressed as a sexy tuxedo guy, and I went in and did my thing at this little hotel. Mm-hmm. And they invited me to hang out with them after, go out in downtown. And I did, and we went back at the hotel, and the girl who hired me for her friend's bachelorette, we'll just call her Tina. So Tina was, you know, pushing me to her friend. She's like, hey, you know, you should, or she was just incentivizing, like, or she was basically saying, hey, you know, my friend so-and-so, Stephanie, we'll just call her Stephanie. Stephanie, like, she's single, blah, blah, blah. And so I was flirting with Stephanie, and then something with her, it didn't work out. So with Tina, we went back with Tina for the remaining of the night, and well, things got hot and heavy with her while two of her friends were in the hotel room under the sheets. And then I felt this buzz sound, and it was her phone. It went off, and it was her husband calling. And so she answered it, and she played it off like nothing was going on. And she was just talking to him. And I'm just looking at her like, oh, well, you have a husband? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, guys have seen that happen when they're dealing with a girl that's got a boyfriend or something like that. And she's literally lying in bed next to the Chad for the fun part. Not that uncommon, but the 80% number is higher than what I thought it would be, because I don't think I've seen guys more than 10, 15, maybe 20% max step out on a commitment to a chick. But it seems like it's really, really a lot more common than I thought it would be. Like, 80% is a big number.
Yeah, man, it's really tough, because I mean, I've made mistakes in the past. You know, I'm not proud of it, but with this field, I know Mike had said that this environment is toxic, and that is true. It is, the analogy I can use for this line of work is, it's like a drug. Back in my 20s, right, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I get, you know, the attention, I get money, I get women, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I'm constantly like, yeah, I can't wait to work on the weekend or get a gig, because it's that that dopamine high of all this attention, and I'm just seen as this freaking superstar. And it gets old after a while, man. It's like this high runs out quick, you know. And we, I mean, yeah, men age like wine, but at the end of the day, like, I like how you say it, is like, what dent in the universe are you making? I mean,
you put some dents in some women, though, that's for sure. Right? You made an impression on a bunch of them.
I mean, yeah, I guess I was a little therapist to them, but overall, like, what's the, you know, like, at some point, like, this job, like, you know, there has to be an exit plan. There has to, like, what's your bigger aspirations for it? So
How do women deal with, like, outside of work, how do women that you're dating or in a relationship with deal with your day job? Like, are they okay with it? Or do they have reservations because you're a male stripper, they don't want to take you seriously, or does it matter at all?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, but mostly, you know, in my 20s, it was fun. But now in my 30s, it's, you know, you meet a caliber of women that, and especially in your life, you're like, oh, you're a stripper at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. They want to know, like, what's going on in your life? Do you have, you know, are you just this guy who's just stripping and doesn't have any life goals? But sometimes you meet women that are very insecure with themselves. And of course, you know, they have to figure out their own insecurities before dating anybody. But yeah, it has taken a hinder of in my dating life.
But it's,
I'll give you, go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, okay. I mean, it has. It was hard to accept it, but I've always used dancing and entertainment as a stepping stone to get to where I need to go. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, sacrificing a dating life, at least for quality women, traditional valued women, if that's what I needed to do, then that's what I needed to do. Because with the women that I'm attracted to is more of traditional culture, not a party girl at all.
Yeah.
Those type of women don't want to date a stripper because, you know, they have, they were raised by their dad and they were taught healthy lessons and they want to have a family or blah, blah, blah. They don't want to incorporate themselves with a male stripper. And I'll give you a quick example is, I dated somebody about 2 years ago, and we'll just call her Sammy. I met Sammy, it was about 6 months in the relationship, 6 to 7 months. And a traditional Middle Eastern woman, came from a traditional background family, and she didn't want to lie to her dad about my job position. I said, you know, just lie to him, just, you know, say I'm doing this, but I'm not doing this forever. So, you know, it shouldn't matter. But because she stuck to her values of I'm not going to lie to my dad, that shows a lot upon my character. And I love my dad. I wouldn't do that to him. She, what my conclusion was, because the breakup was left kind of unfilled, but my suspicion was it was the male stripper job. She didn't want to lie to her dad. And after the breakup, I realized this. I'm like, okay, you know what? I have much more respect for her, because she didn't want to cross those.
Did you ever meet her dad?
No. Well, actually, no. I did, but it was just like a pass by. It wasn't a proper introduction.
Okay. So here, I got a little super chat here. Somebody's asking a question. Thanks for the stories. I just asked my ex how many male strippers she cheated on me with. That's a bizarre question. I mean, chances are I was blue pilled. What's your total body count? And what do you take home per year, if you don't mind? We covered male strippers can make. He wants to know your body count. I'm not sure why that's important, but
well, I won't say the exact number, dude, but I lost count after the amount of days there are in a year. And you know, I've always even when it comes to hooking up with people, I've always wore protection, because I've always knew there was a risk always involved.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough, man. So I guess we'll wrap it up on that note. You're not public. So this is kind of like, you know, you just reached out because you see my stuff and you wanted to share some stories from the trenches. I'm guessing a lot of the stuff that I've said probably resonated as true, and you just wanted to sort of like confirm the stories or.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to confirm, especially, you know, confirm Mike's stories. I wanted to, yeah, give my side of my stories, and also, you know, elaborate on the side, at least when it comes, if, you know, for your viewers, if you have a girlfriend who goes to gay bars a lot, and I think it would be wise to find out if there's go-go dancers there. Because again, there's gay, there's straight go-go dancers, but if she's hanging out with bad influence gay friends or even her straight female friends, they'll push your girlfriend to the go-go dancers. She gets drunk or.
Like I've always had a boundary with going out with gay friends. I mean, like I get a lot of chicks have, you know, have that gay friend of theirs that they like to, you know, it's like a woman, but it's not a woman. It's like a dude, but it's not a dude sort of thing. So,
yeah,
you know, they sort of hold out publicly that it's like a safe zone sort of thing. But I know gay dudes. Like, I know what they're about. They're super, you know, they're super slutty. You know, they sleep with a lot of dudes, and not all of them are pure gay. Like, some of them will sleep with chicks from time to time. So if you think that, you know, putting your girlfriend in the care or the hands of a gay man for a night or for a weekend away or something is going to be safe, think twice, man.
Yep.
Because it's not. All right. So I'll let you go. I got a guy over here that wants to ask a question in the sort of like the green room waiting area. So, yeah, thanks for, chiming in and sharing some of the, you know, stories from the trenches, man. It's been a few years, so it's been a minute or two since I've talked to a guy in that space, and, you know, slightly different stories. Some are also very similar, but, I think the biggest one from this one that the guy should really, really pay attention to is if you think that, you know, bachelorette parties are okay, you know, think again, because you've heard exactly what happens, you know, behind the scenes from a guy that's been in the space since 2009. So there you have it.
I want to leave with a quick message.
Yeah, fire away, man. Go ahead.
All right. And like I said, it's doing this for so long, you get numb to what you see. And if I could tell any of the guys, you have a soon to be bride or her girlfriend, going to these bachelorette parties, just review your girlfriend's friends, honestly, because, you know, when I'm doing these, a lot of the times, like, oh, we're not going to tell your husband that, or we're not going to tell him that you did that, or, you know, said that, we'll just keep it between us. Like, there's always some kind of dirty laundry from it. It doesn't matter if your girl, even if you see your girl is the sweet, innocent one, like everyone has a degree of some kind of dirty laundry, and I hear it. And I see and experience everything that goes on before the divorce. Meaning if your girlfriend or soon to be wife, you know, it has some tendencies, like I'll see that, and I'll see the before of the chaos that's going to erupt in a later divorce. And so that's what makes me feel numb to, it makes me feel numb going in these parties, seeing the same kind of dirty, what's the word? Basically I see it before I see the relationship break before it does, if that makes sense. And all I got to say is, I just hope your viewers, takes a good look at your girlfriend's friends and verifies that your girlfriend can leave to a bachelorette party and you can trust her group of friends not pushing your girlfriend to do some skanky activities.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
You got it.
Appreciate it, buddy. Bye. Take care. All right, Mateus, I'll pull you in a second and do that last question. Andy just sort of followed up with the thanks. My ex was super jealous all the time, accusing me of cheating. In reality, she was probably the cheater. She went to bachelorette parties. Yeah, dude, guaranteed. You know, he said 80% of the time there's stepping out going on. So, you know, whether it's a grow up, a touch, a handy, a, you know, mouth work, full on, you know, third base, whatever, it clearly happens more than you think it does. To, you know, I'll say this to his point earlier, you know, that Tom said that, you know, take a look at your girl's friends, like her circle of influence. And I've said this many, many times, like, you know, if you hang around five broke, fat losers doing nothing with their life, you're going to be the six. You know, if her friends, you know, if her five closest friends are promiscuous, so like to party, they're all boss girls. You know, he said that was another big red flag too, his boss girl seems to pop up a lot as well. She's going to be the six. So I wouldn't even let women... Like, I wouldn't, like, why would I park my exotic car in a shitty neighborhood and hope it's going to be fine? Chances of something bad happening to it go up exponentially versus, you know, if it's in my garage with the alarm on. Why would I let my girl go into an environment where potentially something bad could happen? It's just stupid. It's called frame control. You need to manage the frame and control the frame. And if she doesn't like that, then let her go. You know, the simple answer to that is, you know, she's going to do the, oh, you're controlling or you're insecure. Don't be silly. You know, my friends are good people, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, you throw alcohol into the mix, you throw another town into the mix where what happens in whatever town stays in whatever town, You throw the fact that it's her last hurrah before she gets married to Bill or whatever. You put all those ingredients into a blender and you blend it up and you pour that into a glass. You've got a shit shake. You've got a recipe of ingredients for bad things to happen. And only an idiot would let somebody that they care about go into that environment. Are there good girls out there? Well, we heard the story about the woman of God who sat in the corner saying that it's not her thing, not participating, not indulging, not getting involved in it. But I think why even let that happen? It's a simple answer. I'm going to take this call in real quick and then we'll wrap up. Mateus, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Derich. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, fire away. You got a question for me?
Okay. It seems that my camera is busted, so sorry, but I can't.
No problem.
Leave it on. Okay. So it's more like I want to challenge you on something.
Sure.
It's more. Yeah. So you have that saying that women don't care about your inner struggles and they hang out at the finish line. Yeah. I would challenge you on that.
Go ahead.
I would take that one step further. I would say that most people don't care about your inner struggle. They just hang out at the finish line and they pick the winners. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, men don't behave that way with women. We don't care if a woman's a winner or not. See, the soundbite is women don't care about men's struggles. They hang out at the finish line and they pick the winners. Men don't do the exact same thing. We don't care about, things like this. It's not going to push us away. As long as she's hot, as long as she's available to us, it's not going to push us away. But women get turned off by guys that aren't able to solve their own problems. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. But what about the other men that are actually not in your tribe?
What about the other men that are not in your tribe? I'm not sure I understand. Yeah. Can you elaborate on that? Can you elaborate on that? I'm not sure I understand what you're challenging me on.
So as I was saying that I think that it applies not just to women. I mean, what do we care if another guy, a complete stranger, has some difficulty in their life?
Well, if it's a friend of mine, I'm going to care about it.
Yeah, sure, but if it's not a friend, that was why I said if it's not part of our tribe, we don't give a F about that.
Yeah, but you're conflating the importance and the significance of it when it comes to relationships between men and women. When I make that statement, I'm talking about a man and a wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking about a man and woman that are involved together. You're talking about men caring about other guys' struggles in another continent somewhere else, another country somewhere else. Of course not. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was what I wanted to say.
Yeah, you're just taking it out of context. So just keep it simple. And when I'm talking about it, within context between a man and a woman, women just don't have the patience for a guy that can't solve his problems, right? So at some point, now there are women that will jump through flaming hoops to help a guy. Like there are women that will go to the earth's end to try to, help a guy with his health, with problems that he might be going on, in his life. But at some point, the vast majority of women will check out and they'll just be like, I didn't sign up for this. There was a Marine. So this is a good example over here. There was a Marine that sent me a DM the other day. I don't know if you saw it on the community tab of the page. Did you see it?
I did not.
Yeah, here, let me pull it up. I'll just read it to you real quick before we wrap up. Cause this is the context that I'm talking about it in. And share screen. How do I? Come on, present. There we go. So this is the context in which I'm referencing it. So this guy says, so this came on Twitter. He said, keep speaking the truth, bro. I was a Marine, blast injured in Afghanistan, came back going through treatment for seizures. After a while, she had enough. I had a bad seizure and she said, I didn't sign up for this and walked out and left me, didn't even call an ambulance. He also goes on to say, I watched this happen to 100 Marines, same as me. Walter Reed nurses during war said more wives abandoned their injured returning husbands than stayed. They'd leave their rings by the bedside table. I could say a lot more, but I'm sure that you already know. That's the reference in which I'm talking about it, like as it matters to relationships. Does that make
Understood.
Sense?
Yes. All right, man.
Thanks for hopping in. See you, buddy. All right. Guys, we're on every Wednesday for the Unplugged Alpha. Call-ins are always available and open to anybody that has Q&A. I don't usually have guests. I usually sort of like solo the show and I cover a topic, but I thought it would be better to, rather than tell his stories that he told me, I just invited him on. I said, yo, Tom, you know, do you want to hop on a podcast and sort of, you know, enlighten my audience from your perspective? Because I think it'll come across and be more authentic if you tell the stories rather than me tell the ones that you're sharing with me in the DM. So he did that. So thanks, Tom, for that. But yeah, come back every Wednesday. We're live at noon Eastern Standard Time. This is a new time slot for the Unplugged Alpha. Collins are always there. Monday night is ladies night and Moff is doing his show, Moffus Hours, on Thursdays. I've got my event this weekend, so there's not going to be a general show. I've been super busy preparing for that, but I'll start to, you know, return to some of those Saturday morning shows. And again, reminder, my second edition of the Unplugged Alpha is available on Audible now. So they just approved it this morning. The audio files are all good. It's about 6 hours of material. So I think there's about an hour and a half of additional material that's been added to the Unplugged Alpha book, including summary field reports from my editor, Steve from Accounting, and expansions on certain chapters that needed expansion and clarifying. I also try to I don't want to use the word water down, but I also try to soften the blow of the tone so that it can be used more as a gift, because some people had reservations about buying the book and giving it to, like, you know, a nephew or a brother or something like that. Cause, like, you know, some of it's harder. So some of the language was modified so that it still has the impact, but it's not going to hurt fees as much, if that makes sense. Anyway, go grab the audiobook. I know the first one, there was some errors in the audio recording with lines being read in duplicate or certain things not being cut out. I used a shitty editor, you know, first go at writing a book, obviously, but the second edition audio files are impeccable throughout. The audio editor did a fantastic job. So go check it out. And if you enjoy the book, make sure you go to Amazon and leave a written review. Let guys know, you know, what kind of value you got out of reading the Unplugged Alpha, and enjoy the podcast, guys. You know, see you guys soon. Peace out.